It was almost 23 years ago that I was ordained a priest, or a deacon rather, in Christ's Holy Catholic Church. It was a warm June evening in a small town in Kansas. And I remember the light streaming through the stained glass windows on the south side and the west side, and sparkling little bits of light throughout the congregation. It was a packed house. And our organist, Ernestine Parker, who was 90 years old and had been playing that organ for 70 years, rose to the occasion, and she raised the roof beams as she played hymn 366, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. And we came down the aisle with in procession with the bishop and everyone. It was a wonderful evening. I remember the bishop's sermon. He said, Bill, remember that you are called by God to love and serve the people, caring alike for young and old, for rich and poor, for strong and weak alike. It remains among the most glorious of my memories. Our gospel lesson today is, in a sense, an ordination ceremony itself. The occasion for the scripture is the Last Supper. Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. And in a few moments after this prayer that Jesus says, he's going to go out and he'll be betrayed and taken away and eventually crucified. He knows that he's going to be crucified, but he surprisingly is not sad or afraid, at least in the Gospel of John, but his language is exalted and glorified. It's uplifted. It's one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible. Wonderful language. So he gives his farewell speech, says goodbye to the disciples, and at the end he gives this prayer, and he prays for the disciples. He says, Father, thank you for giving the disciples to me. You gave them to me, and they were mine, and I have given them your word. And they have received your word, and now they believe that truly you sent me. And now I'm going to send them out, so Father, please sanctify them, consecrate them, set them aside for the work that is going to be done. And protect them from the evil one. All this I pray, Father. As you sent me, so I send them. So in a sense, it's kind of an ordination service, this prayer that he's doing. It's such a beautiful scene. You can see Jesus praying for the disciples, and it's almost as if he's already ascending into heaven and saying this prayer as he ascends. Of course, the cruel reality of the crucifixion was still ahead of him. But later, when the disciples looked back, they remembered this prayer, and they remembered how Jesus consecrated them, sanctified them, and sent them out. Have you ever thought how strange it is that Jesus never left anything written for the disciples? He didn't write anything down, none of his teachings. He didn't give them any instructions. He didn't give them an organizational chart or a copy of the Constitution and canons, or even a creed. All he did was he prayed for them. He sanctified them and consecrated them. He ordained them. He did prepare them. In their Last Supper, he washed their feet to teach them about servant ministry. He gave them a new commandment to love one another. And he told them that the Holy Spirit would come and lead them into all truth. And then he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. I guess he knew that there would be opposition, there would be rejection, and there was no way that he could prepare them for every eventuality. There was no way that he could prepare them for everything that they might meet. So what he did was he prayed for them. When my classmates and I graduated from seminary, we thought that we were going to go out and bring a new age into the church, and we were going to revive the church and bring all these new people in and make the church what it used to be. And we didn't realize how hard that was going to be. In the last 20 or 30 years, the church has continued to decline. The membership in the Episcopal Church and other churches continues to gradually go down. And the church in general has lost its influence in society, lost its voice. What used to be called the mainline churches have now been sidelined, the sideline churches now. So I asked God about this. I said, God, don't you think your church needs a little help? Don't you think you ought to send a few more people into your church and raise up some more leaders and bring it back to the influence and the numbers that it used to have? And God said to me, don't worry, Bill. I'm taking care of it. I'm already raising up people for your church. I'm already bringing people in and calling people to be the church. It may not be the church as you think it might ought to be. It might not be the way it used to be, but I'm going to take care of it. On the coast of Oregon, there is a little town, Gardner, Oregon, and there's a little tiny Episcopal church there, St. Mary's Episcopal Church. It sits on a hill on the top of town there, and you can see it as you drive down the coast road. Beautiful little place, white clapboard church, kind of Victorian looking with a red door and a bell tower. Built in the 1890s when Gardner was a big logging town. There was all kinds of logging going on. But in the 1980s, the mill was shut down, people moved away, and there's hardly anything left in that little town. So it's hard to understand how that little church can keep going. There's no way that there's enough people there to pay for any clergy, but somehow they pay the electric bill and they keep the doors open, and every Sunday there's worship service. It might be morning prayer led by lay people, but there's still a service there. Somehow God raises up people and sends them into mission, even in a little place like Gardner, Oregon. Yesterday I heard on the radio a story about the medical school at Columbia University. Every year when they get a new batch of students, they start them off with a ceremony. They bring them into the auditorium, and each student is carrying their white lab coat over their arm. And they call each student up to the stage, and the professors, the doctors, help each student in their lab coat. And they have a chaplain there, and the chaplain says a prayer. He says, let us pray, each one, according to how we are able. And she said, God, please let these lab coats be a sign of the healing power that these students are being invested with. Let these lab coats be a sign of the responsibility and the commitment that each student will carry in carrying out the healing work. And then afterwards, they say the Hippocratic Oath. Well, it's not exactly an ordination service, but it's awful similar to an ordination service, isn't it? You know, we think of ordination as something that is reserved for clergy, but really, our baptism is our ordination. We ask, when we're baptized, we ask the person, do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? And do you promise to follow and obey him as Lord? That's an ordination service. We are being sanctified. We're being consecrated. We're being set apart for the work of ministry. That's what baptism does to us. And in the early church, they would baptize someone and then they would clothe them in a white robe, sort of similar to those white coats that the doctors put on, as a sign of the ministry that they're about to do. There's a wonderful prayer in the prayer book on page 817. It's a prayer for the parish family. And in the prayer it says, God, hear our prayers for this parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Those who are faithful, strengthen them in their faith. Those who are careless, who have stopped caring about God, arouse them, wake them up, help them remember. And those who are penitent, who have fallen away, Lord, bring them back in. In my daily prayers, I have a prayer bowl. And in the bowl, there is a bunch of little squares of paper. And on each square, there's written something I pray for. And one of those is my prayer for St. Anthony's. And I pray, God, thank you for this church. Thank you for each person that is part of this church. Thank you for bringing them for me to care for and to love. And Lord, deepen our faith. Help us go deeper in our faith. Draw us closer together. And send us out into the world to do our ministry. Help us know that the Holy Spirit is with us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to do the work you have given us to do. Protect us from all dangers, and let us be your witness to the world. And before Jesus died, he prayed for his disciples. He sanctified them, and he sent them out. Jesus is still praying for us, still sanctifying us, and still sending us out. Amen.